This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Welcome aboard, Islanders. You are on the Disney Skyliner at Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort. We're flying to Disney's Riviera Resort with continuing flights to Epcot.
That's the Riviera.
Hold on to your straw hats. We are about to enter the heart of the Caribbean. We are now sailing over Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort, home to a collection of tropical villages inspired by the colorful architecture and lifestyle of the Caribbean islands.
Hello and welcome to show number 311 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on this week's show, we're going to be talking all about Disney Plus. Now before we get into it, let me let you know who's on the show with me tonight. First, we have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
I am wonderful. 16 days.
That's right. It's coming down to it. We also have Sam along with us tonight. Hey, Sam.
Darn it. I'm trying to find out how many days until Disney Plus starts. 16 days until the trip, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, that's right. So plus 8, probably.
Plus 8. All right. So there you go. We're sitting at 24 days to Disney Plus.
Something wow. Like 25. It's coming.
It's coming. November 12th, 2019.
Now, before we dive into the Disney Plus, I do want to make an announcement. Our last show was titled The Skyliner is Open, but now it's closed. Well, now it's open again. so we wanted to make sure everybody knew that. Lisa was on it the other day. As soon as it opened, she was at the park. She did a great live video for us. And, she was on it again. Brave, brave girl.
They just made an announcement. A lot of the Disney people got involved along with the manufacturer, and they tweaked some of the operations of that Skyliner. Lisa said it was noticeable that didn't come in quite as hot as it did the first time she rode it.
Okay.
So when it's coming into the station, she said she could notice that it was slower than it was originally.
Great. And we all noticed in those videos how fast they were coming in, so that makes a lot of sense.
Hey, it's all good. I can't wait to ride it. I mean, I can't wait to see the views from that thing. So, it's back.
Yeah,
that's what really got me is the views. You know, as far as transportation for me, I think there's equally good transportation other ways, but it's the experience of riding it, right?
Sure. There's got to be an interesting test somewhere as far as being in Epcot and maybe you leave International Gateway or in the middle of Epcot. Somebody heads to a bus and somebody heads to the gondola and somebody goes to a friendship boat and sees who gets to studios first. There,
oh, yeah,
somebody will do that.
Totally was thinking that through. We should definitely test it out. We'll have the chance.
Yeah, just to see.
Yep.
But the gondola view is definitely better than the bus.
No doubt. No, did you see that the new buses have Wi-Fi?
I Wi-Fi and charging stations and all that stuff, right?
They got USB plugs under some of the seats. Yep.
Yeah, wow, that's cool. Nice. And those special wraps they have on them now too. Now I was arguing with somebody about this also, about how I'm surprised the gondolas wouldn't also have Wi-Fi. The only reason I think it would be possible is they do have announcements in each car that are live, so they do have to have some way to communicate to each vehicle. And you got to figure, you could put a router almost anywhere in the vehicle itself and then have stations all along the line of Wi-Fi.
So, can you get Wi-Fi in it, though? I mean, you just need an antenna on every other post, really, right? That's all you need.
Sure. And then, like I said, you could even boost it with each car by having a router inside there that's connecting, that's catching that signal outside the car and just boosting it inside. If you could do it on a bus, you got to think you could do it in the gondolas.
I know it sounds like it's simple, but in my opinion, Disney has not even done it well in the park.
True. Very true. But, you know, it's just something to think about.
Yeah, I think that's got to do with how many people you have there.
Sure, but versus... I think it's stationary. You think they could create enough bandwidth? Well, let me tell you, there's 80,000 people in the Superdome, but you know they partnered with AT&T and they put enough bandwidth in that place that if you go in there, you can connect to the Wi-Fi and it works pretty darn good.
Well, let me ask you this: we're flying over a couple hotels. Is there any chance that we have a height limit on the Wi-Fi, or does that how high does it go? Because I know we know from next door and the neighbor's house how far it's going to go that way. I wonder how far up in the sky Wi-Fi goes.
I think it just depends which way it's connected or pushed. Mine's in my basement, and it pushes up pretty far.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
But not to a basket going over me, right?
At least something to look at if you're going over one of the hotels. Look at your options there.
Oh, the issue with that is that I think that the hotels, it's not one. Like, there's not routers that cover the whole hotel. They're somewhere in between rooms or in the buildings. Mm-hmm. There's multiple routers because I've been in one room and you get no signal and you walk next door and you get a signal. So it's
hit or miss.
I think their Wi-Fi technology is in the walls somewhere or maybe in like where the laundry room or the electrical rooms are in that specific building of the hotel.
Gotcha.
And I'm talking like the value resorts. Just, I think there's separate Wi-Fi stations for each building. It's not just one that covers the whole resort.
Cool. Okay, well, I don't want to talk about Wi-Fi anymore. I want to talk about Disney Plus.
You're going to need Wi-Fi to watch that.
You are, in some cases. So.
And I tell you what, that was the first thing we were talking about tonight is I know my TVs get Netflix, I know my TVs get Hulu, but are they going to get Disney Plus?
So you're talking about a smart television.
Correct.
Not plugging in. It depends on the television, I think, is the...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are all these TVs going to have those firmware updates that's going to add the extra option for me? Or am I going to have to actually manually do something? That's what we're going to find out next. Although, I doubt it's going to be a major issue. Let's hope.
No. You can... I mean, we know, and Sam has the list, but we know it's going to be on things like... well, you probably wouldn't use Google Chromecast because you're an Apple user, but we know it's going to be on Roku, so you can buy
Apple TV. So
no, I get shivers saying I'm a Mac user. No, that's just the work thing. I'm a PC person, please.
So here's what it comes down to. I think I have the official list from Disney. Disney Plus, of course, is their streaming service, which you can sign up for the 3 years, the monthly or the annual fee. Right now, at launch on November the 12th, according to Disney, you can watch it on Roku, Apple TV, your iPhone, an iPad, an Android phone, and Android TVs, Google Chromecast, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. Now, Ed, to your point where you get one of the smart TVs and the apps are built in, I'm sure it's just a matter of time before Disney Plus becomes one of those apps built in.
Right.
That's coming. But in the meantime, at launch, the devices I just read, you're going to need one of those. I'm good with my iPad, my iPhone, and Xbox One would be my go-to.
Somewhere there was a list of some smart TVs as well. But the problem is that there's just so many brands and models TVs that you can't list them all. But there was a list. But the Roku, I mean, you can get a Roku stick for probably $30 that'll plug into any television's HDMI port and watch it.
Right. Oh, sure. And I'm surprised that Disney wouldn't have already started having these companies start pushing out their updates. Sanyo,
you
Toshiba,
know
and stuff
it's in
like
process,
that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, with Roku, just like that now, and we talked about this before the show, one of the interesting ones that's missing is Fire TV because the Amazon Fire Stick is probably the most used streaming device out there, and it's not going to be on there at launch. I imagine that will come eventually. But for like the Roku stick, usually they don't do like an update. You just once it's available, you just go to like to the app store and you buy it, you download the app and then
yeah.
Can I throw a capitalist like reason in there for real quick? What is what if it's because Prime is a competitor to Disney Plus?
Well, and that's certainly part of it, but there's money involved. I mean, this is almost like, you know, Spider-Man not being part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe anymore, and then all of a sudden now he is again. Well, because there were some dealings that were going on behind the scenes, and there was some money exchanged somewhere. So I'm sure that's part of it. And just recent, a year ago, you did Amazon Fire Stick did not have a YouTube app, believe it or not, because of the same thing, because YouTube TV is a competitor to their streaming. So it is interesting, but now that you with some type of deal, so I imagine Disney's going to do, imagine it'll come eventually.
Right.
Because money. That's because what it comes down to.
Sure. Well, sure. Okay. Well, so just to make sure everybody realizes what we're talking about, Disney has a new online streaming service called Disney Plus. They've been advertising it for about the last, I guess, year now. And we've gotten down to the point where we're only weeks away from it actually starting up. Mm-hmm. For the past 2 months, I'd say about 2 months, they've been throwing memberships out there to basically every division of Disney fans. You have your annual pass holders, you have your D23 people, you have all these different offers that have been thrown out there. If you get 3 years,
Disney Visa card, I got an offer.
Correct. Yep. And all the various different discounts. So the majority of the nerds have signed up for Disney Plus. We're all waiting for it. We can't wait.
Oh, I'm in.
Yep. Definitely.
The D23 deal was the best deal, and it's not available anymore, but it was a great deal, and you didn't even have to be
It's a free membership. It's a free D23 membership.
You didn't have to be a paid D23 member. Even if you were a free member, you had access. And,
right, and we talked about that a little bit when it was happening. Hopefully somebody heard it and took advantage of it.
With that being said, I just got the one Sam's talking about for Disney Visa, and it's only probably about $15 or $20 more for the whole 3 years, so it's not like it's still a terrible deal.
Right. Oh yeah, definitely. And it's still and compared to cable costs, it's nothing really at all.
Well, and my thing is that if you take advantage of one of those, the D23, if you took advantage of the D23 deal, are you going to take advantage of the Disney Visa deal or just the no deal just to sign up for the 3 years right now? They're basing that on being better than the $6.99 a month, which it's going to launch at. My thing is though, if you sign up for 3 years now, you're locking in that price, because I would imagine in a year and a half, it's not going to be $6.99 a month. They're going to level it off. They're doing that to get people to subscribe, and eventually they're probably going to move up toward where Netflix is, which is $12 or $13 a month.
I think you also have an interesting dynamic with Disney Plus and Hulu and ESPN Plus, and a bundle coming that will cover all three of those at some point. And who knows where that's going to price.
Yeah, they've stated that there will be a bundle available that you can get discounted.
But nope, they haven't set a price. They've just said it's coming.
I don't know what it's going to be at this point. Well, that's correct.
And they keep going. They're going to go back and forth on what they say too, though, so we have to take everything with a grain of salt. And perfect example was that we were told originally we're going to get everything in the Disney Vault. Well, we saw the list that just came out this week, and I'm not complaining because I get the reasons behind this, but it is not everything in the Disney Vault. There's definitely some things that are missing from the list of available, what's going to be available when it opens up. Again, it's going to be more along the lines of keeping it fresh and releasing stuff as time goes on. And if you really think back, and this is thinking back a long time, guys, like 50 years ago, the only way to see a Disney movie was going to the movie theater.
That's right.
So if you wanted to see Peter Pan again, you would have to wait for the year Disney came out and re-released that movie to the theater.
In the theater.
To go see it again.
And I'm a great example of that, Ed, because I saw 101 Dalmatians in the theater during its rerun in the late 70s. Not in its original release, but that's how you did it. You just had to wait.
Sure. And Jimmy, for you to get the example of this, to feel like you'd understand it, think about the VCR tapes when they went into the vault and they had those commercials like, hey, get this now for the last 3 weeks before we put Cinderella back in the vault for who knows how many years. Similar type of marketing. Disney kind of carried that through to the early VCR days and kind of kept that whole philosophy going, and they just lost track of it after that.
Well, no, even the Blu-ray DVDs, they were doing the same thing. You couldn't just go buy those movies at any time.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you are right.
Well, they'd come back as the diamond, and then the platinum, and then the DVD, but I think they're still available, though.
Yeah.
Every years?
I think it was just that they upped it and made it so you could rebuy it again at the 50-year anniversary, so it was, like, special.
But they'd always add, like, a special feature, or they'd add some more outtakes or some concept. Sure. They'd do something on the DVD to get you to go and buy it, which makes me wonder if that's their strategy for physical media moving forward versus just subscribing and having access to the vault.
Yeah,
right?
Right. Well, they're going to have to offer some extras on the DVDs at this point going forward, or else there is no reason to buy them. However, when you don't have every movie all the time, then perhaps you are going to still be able to keep track of your favorite movies you have on DVD now for the time.
Physical media is kind of a dead.
It is, but there's still something about having that disc. I mean, I still have my VHS tapes of Star Wars, and I have that's the originals, and then I physically have those. So when the latest Star Wars movie comes out the DVD, I get the box set with all the special features and the little booklets inside it, and I'd like having that, but I'm also only doing that for Star Wars.
Right.
The other stuff I'm just going to watch online somewhere.
Sure,
so for me, Disney Plus is my opportunity to finally go and watch all the Marvel movies that I didn't necessarily run to the theater and see.
Yeah, and you know how expensive it would be to have to go buy all those?
Which I'm not going to. I'm just going to watch them at my leisure now because they're going to be there. That's cool.
So me and Ed will get you the order you got to watch them in, because if you don't watch them in the right order, you're going to screw yourself all up.
Right.
Here's what I've seen. I've seen the two Guardians movies because I was told they were standalone and you could kind of do that.
Okay. You can.
And I saw Iron Man, the original. That's it.
Yeah, you're good. We're going to get you the list. And
all right.
We'll step back a second and say that's so amazing. You've only seen three Marvel movies, but definitely worth catching up.
That's all I've seen.
You've only got about 25 more to watch.
Well, I've seen every episode of The Clone Wars. I've seen every episode of Rebels. I've seen every episode of The Resistance. Season 2 is about to start. So I can go down that path and dig into it because that's what I like. I love that.
Right. Now, and it's important with Marvel. I remember the revelation of that they were setting up for the bigger movies. Seeing that after, like, I think it wasn't Iron Man. It was after, I think, one of the next couple ones when they were really starting to push the whole idea of getting the meetup and getting the Avengers going.
Well, Iron Man 3 was the first one that was like a Disney Marvel. Iron Man 1 and 2 were just Marvel, Marvel.
It was before Disney, okay.
That was before Disney.
All right, I didn't know.
Well, you know what? That might make sense because I think I only saw Iron Man 3. Well, let's get into it real quick now. Disney Plus will have movies, will have television series, will have new content movies and television series, and will also offer a lot of the library of documentaries that Disney has under its belt.
Disney's great, but it's Star Wars, it's Marvel, it's Pixar, it's National Geographic, it's Fox. It's like, holy cow.
You know what was noticeably missing, though? After seeing all this and going through the list, Studio Ghibli was not represented. And you know what? After doing a little research, they're going to be on HBO Max, which so doesn't make sense.
Studio Ghibli, explain.
It's the Japanese animation movies that Disney's basically taken on the last couple of years.
Got it.
I'm really going to be sorry. I can't remember the gentleman's name. The animator that does all the animation for these incredible, incredible, awesome animated movies.
I know who you're talking about. And I don't even watch that stuff, but I know who you're talking about.
And he was involved so awesome in to be under the Disney Ponyo. Umbrella that it was just, you know, just the releases were incredible. And Ponyo. There you go. That was a nice one. That was the colors and everything around that movie were just amazing.
Can't remember his name, but I have heard of him. I know who you're talking about.
Well, we'll come up with it. But anyway, the point being, though, there's so much content out there that it's sometimes odd that things will stick out that might not be there, but not to concentrate on it at all. What you need to do is basically kind of look at what's available and then just, I guess, pace it out. Like Sam was saying, was a great idea. Marvel. He's going to start hitting his Marvel movies and starting to, you know, keep track of those and catch up on that.
But there's so much original content I got to hit first. I'll get there eventually, but holy cow, what do you watch first?
Well, now here's the
original Marvel content, too. You can't even get started on that, Sam. You got
I get it. So actually, let me, if I can, very quickly. I'm looking at the original scripted series that will be available on Disney Plus, and the studios include the Disney Channel, CBS Television Studios, Lucasfilms, Marvel, Disney Television Animation, and 20th Century Fox Television. All of those studios are creating content for Disney Plus. Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be pretty incredible. And they've announced a bunch of them, and there's just a lot more that are going to be coming out, I'm sure, over the next couple of years.
The Japanese guy, Ed, is Hayao Miyazaki.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's him. He's the one who directed Ponyo.
Right, which, again, I'm just kind of surprised it wasn't going to be involved. But, like I said, there's so much else out there. And I tell you, it's going to be a matter of, I guess, picking your favorites and starting from there. At least that's how I'm going to be looking at it. Now, if you want to go out and see exactly what's offered there and you don't want to read through the lists, go onto YouTube and do a search for Disney Plus offerings and just in the last week search, and you'll find the Disney Company's actual video, which will show you all of the things offered. You need to set up a time for about 3 hours and 20 minutes because that's how long the video is. There's a couple out there that are shorter than that and done so you can see them all that way. And that's how I kind of got through them visually as far as seeing what was going to be offered. And I definitely came up with a list of favorites that I'm already looking forward to checking out.
So there's content that will be available day one, and there's content in development, that list that I went down. And Lucasfilm has 1, 2, 3, 4 different things in the works. And for me, that's gold, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I love this genre. The Mandalorian, which is the Mandalorian, this is what everybody's waiting for. It's a space western. That's the genre they put it in.
Sure.
And, you know, I mean, I'm looking at that, The Mandalorian, and you got Jon Favreau writing and helping create it with also Dave Filoni.
Dave Filoni from The Clone Wars, which is also Clone Wars Season 7 is part of this. But
and they spent a lot of time in The Clone Wars with Mandalorians, too. There's a number of episodes.
Absolutely, and they get into the details of what they are. And yeah, so Clone Wars Season 7 is the second Lucasfilm. The third one, which isn't available until 2020 sometime, is the untitled Cassian Andor series. Cassian was in Rogue One.
Yes, yeah, and prequel.
The spy
the Rogue One prequel.
Cassian on Andor.
Which character was that again?
He's the main male character.
That was
and
the spy with
he
the
was
beard.
One,
he was helping her out.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he's the one they send to shoot to assassinate her father.
Right. Yep. Okay, yes. Just making sure.
Then the fourth one is an untitled Obi-Wan Kenobi series, which we saw Ian McGregor on stage at D23 talking about. So that's four Lucasfilm things I can't wait for.
I wonder if they're going to touch base with Ewan McGregor when he's on, you know, Ben Kenobi on Tatooine, and that'll be the series.
I don't know.
Because he's the age for it now. Definitely as far as, you know, 30s, 40s.
He is.
Now, I tell you what, there's a lot of good animation out there also. When you're talking Marvel, there's the movies out there, which are great. There's probably about 7-8 different series of animation Marvel, which I thought was pretty cool.
So if we look at some of the Marvel stuff, I'm going to read some names because you tell me what you guys are looking forward to. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is six episodes.
Series, right.
Yeah. Loki.
Tom Hiddleston going to reprise that role, which he's amazing.
I'm not even sure who Loki is, so I'll be honest there.
And that's going to be interesting to see what they do. Is that going to be like a weekly where – oh, and real quick before I forget, they're going to be doing this a little differently than Netflix. Netflix is famed for releasing the entire season at one shot. So you can go out there and you can watch the entire season in a night if you'd like of an episode. Disney Plus, I think the way we heard it, it's going to be releasing them either weekly or definitely on a schedule.
Well, depending, I don't think that's going to be all the series. We just know the Mandalorian will be done.
Mandalorian's out. Weekly, that we know.
Okay. Let me rephrase that. If it's new content, I'm thinking they're releasing it on a schedule as opposed any TV series from the day is going to be released one shot.
No. Even the new series, we don't know. I think Netflix and Amazon Prime have found a winner in the way they release those and have people just binge watch them.
I don't have time for that, though. And then I'm worried about getting spoilers, you know.
Well, I like it because I don't have time to wait a week and then figure out when I got to watch it and all that.
Okay, I get it.
It's there. When I log into my Netflix, it picks up where I left off, and I can just – it's like watching a long movie.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it.
Two things. One, Sam, I'm going to call you out a little bit for not knowing who Loki is. Because
I've heard the name, but I don't know who it is.
Well, if you go into the Stave Church in Norway,
okay,
you would know who Loki is. He is the brother of Thor. And he's
okay, cool.
And he's a villain. He's the god of mischief.
Nice. All right, that's cool. All right, then that said, what would WandaVision be?
WandaVision would be...
Is that the red witch queen? What was the red witch?
No. Wanda is the Scarlet Witch.
Yes.
And Vision is the guy who Jarvis becomes with the Mind Stone in his forehead.
So they call it WandaVision, though? What was the title?
That's the title.
That makes no sense.
Let me give you – well, because there are a couple. You got to remember that.
I understand there are a couple, but I'd like to see the title. It can't be just that name. That sounds like her last name is now Vision.
Nope. WandaVision. Without a doubt, the strangest sounding out of the bunch and the strangest title. WandaVision sees Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany return as Scarlet Witch and Vision in a series described as weird by Olsen. Strange by Bettany.
Okay.
Unlike anything we've done before by Feig. The 6-episode series described as something of a sitcom and will be directed by Matt Shakman and premieres on Disney Plus in the spring of 2021.
It's a little ways off.
The genre for that, on what I'm looking at, is superhero romance.
So there you go. Yeah. It's about their relationship, probably.
And centered hopefully around that'll their be relationship. Intertwined with whatever Marvel movies are being released at the same time, too. Hopefully it'll keep that tie-in. They did such a great job with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where for the first couple seasons they kept it tied in to the Winter Soldier and all that other stuff. I would love to see them continue doing that, hopefully down the road with Disney Plus.
And what was interesting is they did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which intertwined with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and then they also did Agent Carter, which almost intertwined with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and kind of almost was like backstory on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it was really
and
was
I tell
really
you what,
cool.
That the Agent Carter series is probably the model for these 6-episode series we're starting to hear about, because they seem to all be 6 episodes, and it's basically Agent Carter, I think, was about that, and they're you know, really kind of awesome because it put everything into not a long time, not a big time investment.
But it gave you a lot. You're right. It was almost like a mini series, but it gave you a lot of backstory about the relationships and how they were built that were going on in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Even things like that were explained, like dark matter and stuff like that, were explained in Agent Carter that brought it back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And you're like, that's the backstory of that. That's how that happened.
And actually, Jarvis, I think, came about in that one too, didn't he?
Well, yes, because he was actually a person.
Right. So that was, again, those little morsels that you get from these other series are going to be invaluable.
It's amazing, the storytelling and the connection and the characters that they have to dig into. Which, I mean, that's the heart of this. It's all storytelling and the character and the portfolio that Disney has in all of these brands is an amazing amount of stories to be told. And it, wow.
What's interesting is that, you know, there's always that fine line, especially with Marvel. There's always that fine line because there's so much back stuff in the comic books that sometimes they stray away from a little bit, but they have to stay a little bit real to it. They have to stay a little bit true to it, or the fans will call them out if they go too far off the path.
Well, sure. That's with everything, though. You say that about Star Wars, too, I think, really big time.
But yeah. Star Wars, there's no... I mean, all of the stuff that's written is none of it's actual canon. It's kind of all
one word, midichlorians.
Huh?
I said just one word tells you all about it. Midichlorians. When they created that one in the revival of the second 3 movies, they got out of control with that. Everybody freaked out when that one. The origination of the Force.
Now it's canon, and it is what it is, and it's like it was always there.
Yep. Anyway. So I guess what we can do really is, have you guys gone through the list? Because I've been going through it the last couple of days, and I've jotted down a couple of things that I'm really looking forward to seeing.
I go through the list of everything's coming. The one thing that jumps out to me that I just wrote a blog about is the Imagineering story. Mm-hmm. And this started as a documentary, and there's a little history here, because I first heard about this at the D23 Expo in 2013. That's 6 years ago, when there was a trailer played by Leslie Iwerks, who is the daughter of Don Iwerks, who's a Disney legend, and the granddaughter of Ub Iwerks. That's the guy that drew Mickey and Oswald the Lucky Rabbit with Walt way back in the day. So there's a little bit of a connection here. Mm-hmm. But essentially, it is the story of the Imagineers. And in that first trailer from 2013, it was promoting a 90-minute documentary about the Imagineers. So she interviewed people like Bob Gers on there, and Raleigh Crump, and you just go right down the list of all these Imagineers that she went and talked to try to find out what they were about. And then again in 2015 at the D23 Expo, she premiered another trailer. And these, by the way, are on the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com at the blog. You can watch them. And both of those said coming in 2016. And then we didn't hear anything about it. It sort of disappeared. And then, boom, Disney Plus has 6 one-hour episodes of this documentary. So what was 90 minutes is now 6 hours. And I can't wait to watch this thing.
Definitely. That will be pretty incredible. I got to imagine it's going to be probably the second generation Disney guys as opposed to the 9 old men.
It looks that way, yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is still great.
It looks like she went around the country and interviewed these guys.
Right, which is going to be pretty incredible.
So if you think about the timing, she started this thing back in 2013, so you have Marty Scarr that she's interviewing, and you have some Imagineers that aren't with us anymore that she got to talk to, and we're going to see them, and I can't wait to hear what they had to say.
Oh, no doubt.
Because that's firsthand information of working with Walt. They were young at the time, but holy cow, it is most likely not the 9 old men, but sort of that second wave of Imagineer. There's a lot of Tony Baxter that they showed, and you know how Big Thunder Railroad came to be. I mean, stuff like that. It's just amazing.
Right, and any of that's going to be interesting. Just as like you said, and all the backstories of some of these attractions, some of these parks and stuff. And there's a lot of other good documentaries out there. I saw Frank and Ollie, which I have on DVD, but it's pretty cool to have out there. This is a good one, Jimmy. Marvel Assembling a Universe. So they got a good documentary about the Marvel, the whole idea of putting together all these different movies to get to the Avengers. So that should be pretty cool. Now, you know what's out there that I'm looking forward to? The, what were they called? The True Life Adventure Stories.
Sure.
They have a number of those out there. It's basically the first animal documentaries that were produced professionally and put out for the public. And basically Walt wrote the book on that.
Sure did.
I think that's so great that they, you know, for the acquisition of Fox, they also got Nat Geo, which naturally ties into a lot of those films. I'm looking through this list and I see another cool one. You know, talking about the Imagineer one, but there's going to be another one called Ink and Paint. And it's based on Mindy Johnson's Disney history book of the same name. Ink and Paint is a documentary series that chronicles the history of the animation at Disney and how an unsung workforce of trailblazing women help create some of the greatest animated films of all times.
Have you ever seen
any
one of those
documentary
animated
in history like that? I can't wait to watch it.
Have you ever seen the pictures of the Ink and Paint department? It looks like one of those steno offices, like from the day, like in the 50s, where they had like maybe like, you know, 30, 40 women in a room, all in desks right across, like, you know, next to each other, going to town on their work. It was basically the similar way the ink department was set up. And it was always girls. They never had men in there.
Interesting. So you gotta think Walt truly appreciated those people because he married one.
True.
Yeah, that's true. Right. That's absolutely
and to
right.
be honest with you, adding the color is really kind of an important thing. So it definitely would not be what it was without the ink pearls.
Yep.
How about Forky Asks a Question, Jimmy? You and I heard about that one.
We did hear about that when we were in the Toy Story 4 panel. That's going to be interesting for sure.
So there's a number of TV series for kids that are going to be coming out with, which sound all pretty incredible. I saw a Marvel version one where it's the kids turning into the superheroes. couple other ones like that.
You know, my daughter is excited about High School Musical, the musical, series. The series.
I know, I saw that also.
And the Lizzie McGuire reboot. They're all over this. And when I say they're all over, it's sort of a younger generation, maybe millennial, that are like, wait, Lizzie McGuire's coming back. No way. That's so cool. So there's something for everybody.
Yeah. You know what else is pretty interesting? It's, you know, I'm looking through this list of the animated movies that's going to be on there. And, you see Frozen and Frozen 2 and Great Mouse Detective and Hercules. And then you come across Garfield, a teal.
Right.
That's Disney. It's
well,
got to be
now
Fox.
It is.
Keep looking. You'll find The Simpsons.
I know. All The Simpsons.
All of them. All 30 seasons, right?
Right.
Now we're talking, right? If you keep looking at Jimmy, I know this had to be one of your favorites, the Gummy Bears.
Well, that was all the Disney Afternoon, all the cartoons
it
were
was.
Out there.
Yeah, they're all there.
I saw Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers was out there. That was always a favorite.
There's also Chip and Dale in production. Sometime in 2020, there's going to be a new one.
That's kind of cool. So now let's take a step back, though, too. I think what's interesting is we're going to have a chance to actually watch some of the series from the 50s that kind of made Disney a couple bucks. The Davy Crockett series and the Zorro series. I've always heard great things about that and never really had a chance to watch like episodes because either, I guess, you have to buy them on DVD or you just had to have a great TV station that maybe showed them.
Or you could only get the couple of episodes that were on DVD. It wasn't like the whole thing. It was just pieces.
So it'd be cool to see it because it's always great seeing the pilot and watching the episodes as they progress. But I think the only thing I've ever seen Disney as far as Davy Crockett was they had the movie they made. Him and
Fess Parker.
Yeah, well, him and Fess Parker, but it was like the keelboat or it was the bad guy in the river or something like that. And they showed that on a couple Walt Disney TV shows, which, really quick, when Leslie and I were discussing this last couple of days, she brought up a great point. Wouldn't it be great if they played the Disneyland shows and the World of Color shows back again? Because you know what? They're all relevant. How could they not be? Because it's basically talking about the parks, the movies, everything that Walt was working on.
I would love that because, I mean, that's before my time, and I would love to – all of those. I haven't seen – I've seen clips and stuff like that, but I would certainly go through and watch a lot of those. Another thing, Sam was bringing up the new Chip and Dale series, and I kind of came across it in this – what I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. And it says it's one of the first official Disney Plus series to roll into production. The series is a short-form take on the iconic troublemaking chipmunks. And will deliver 39 7-minute episodes in nonverbal classic style comedy.
Oh, interesting.
Well, so, it will be interesting, and I'm hoping it's not going to be the new animation they've been using with Mickey and Friends.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
But we'll see.
I hope the classic animation. I agree.
Although some of those Mickey episodes are funny.
Oh no! Don't get me wrong. They are. It's just
but
the animation's
like the
hard to take. Really, I agree.
Yeah, I'm not. About the style.
Here was a TV show that I thought was odd and I hadn't heard about it. The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
I only know about that because of D23. He was there.
Okay. I think that's going to be kind of cool. We'll see. We'll have to see on that one. The amount of Kurt Russell movies is pretty cool. There's a number of them from the 60s.
Eddie is a fan.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool. Old Yeller is on there. An old sad one.
I thought was interesting is earlier we were talking about The Mandalorian, and it's going to be done by Jon Favreau. Yeah, it's the first live-action Star Wars series debuts on Disney Plus day of launch, and it's teed up to be a crown jewel in their lineup with family favorite Jon Favreau serving as writer, creator, and showrunner with filmmakers like Dave Filoni and Taika Waititi directing episodes set after the events of the Return of the Jedi. The 8-episode season stars Pedro Pascal as the title gunfighter with supporting cast members like Nick Nolte, Giancarlo Esposito, and darn it, my screen just went out.
Guy was in the first guy you mentioned, the main guy of this series,
Pedro Pascal.
He was in the Game of Thrones.
Yes,
he was the guy that got squeezed by the giant.
Yes. He's also in the TV show Narcos.
Right. And also he was in the second what was the movie, like the Bond movie series, the English Kingsman. He was in the second Kingsman movie too. He was a major part in that.
What really caught my eye though is Jon Favreau.
Oh yeah, he's become king.
He did all of the Iron Man movies. Now he's doing The Mandalorian. He did the live action Lion King. He did the live action Jungle Book.
Everything he touches.
Yeah, he's incredible.
So I tell you what, is there anything else out there that you saw that you're really looking forward to?
Monsters at Work.
What's that?
Monsters at Work is 6 months after the events of Monsters Incorporated. In the city of Monstropolis, Tyler Tuxman is a mechanic in a facilities team, and he dreams of working alongside his idols, Mike Wazowski and James Sullivan. Just sounds interesting. It's from Pixar, and I'm like, wait a minute, come on, this is cool.
And it is going to be Billy Crystal and John Goodman, and Ben Feldman will voice Tyler Tuxman.
So this is a series?
Yeah. Nice. This is a series, yes.
Very cool. Yeah, that's going to be actually really nice.
Now, we're not going to see that till early 2020, but it is something I'm looking forward to seeing.
Now, I got to wonder, is Disney going to stop their TV series, like kids shows and stuff like that?
Same thing, like the Disney Channel stuff, that my kids watch all the time, right?
Sure. And Freeform and stuff like that.
I just think that – so does this become sort of – if you're a director, although you look at the talent that they have doing this, what is more prestigious to direct, the Disney Channel or Disney Plus? You know what I mean? It's kind of, they're putting them all on the same level playing field.
Right.
I think for most of these, Disney Channel would be a step back. I mean, these people that they're getting involved and, you know, I mean, Netflix kind of started this with their original series.
Yep, that's right. That's exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, so there you look at a series like, I don't know, just any one of the series, any one of the Marvel, like Daredevil is one of the ones that they did, that Netflix did as an original. It's what, 10, 11 episodes that are an hour long. So instead of a movie, you're getting 11 hours of content.
Oh, sure.
There's just so much more story building and character development in these because they have so much more time.
Right.
It's just interesting.
And it's kind of cool because, it's funny you would say that. On Netflix, they've had the Lord of the Rings movies, which they've kind of backward engineered in that they're no longer movies. They're now a TV series where you're watching the actual movie, but they're breaking it up into like 45-minute episodes. Which is kind of an odd thing, but I think they're putting it to the people out there so it's more of like a binge type thing where you can keep watching pieces of the movie and keep going.
And that's it. You get to, I mean, you mentioned Game of Thrones earlier. Look at the success of that. And it's because, you know what? It's basically a 9 movie series that's broken up into little chunks that you can absorb over a long period of time. You know, you can stop and watch an hour. You don't have to go to the movies for 3 hours. You can go home and watch one episode and, you know, be done. And then,
oh, sure. Now, real quick, Space Cowboys, that was the description for The Mandalorian, Space Western. That was the whole description for Serenity, the Firefly, too. So we're going to see which way it goes. I have a feeling The Mandalorian is more going to be like, I think, Game of Thrones in the Star Wars universe than it is going to be like the other one. But we'll see.
So the only other one that intrigues me, and we're not going to see it until sometime in 2020, there's no date, is Muppets Now.
There's a lot of Muppets.
Just the fact that the Muppets are getting a platform is wonderful.
Interesting.
They've been doing a lot of commercials out there for Apple, I think. And even though I don't like them shilling, the commercials are pretty cool. okay, guys, so Disney Plus is coming November 12th. It's almost here. What do you think? What are you really looking forward to seeing? What do you think they don't have that they need to get? Send us an email. Let us know. Jimmy, how can they get in touch with the show?
You can email us at questions at the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com and email us individually at Ed@TheDisneyNerdsPodcast.com, Jimmy@TheDisneyNerdsPodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram at The Disney Nerds Podcast, and Twitter at The Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.TheDisneyNerdsPodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 311, Disney Plus, and we can't wait. Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 311. Thanks for listening. For Jimmy, for Sam, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
Kongaloosh!